I invite you to turn with me today to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, as we continue our series today entitled, He Is. He Is. In the Gospel of John, we have those seven I Am statements, and that's where we're playing off that idea of He Is. He Is. Whatever you need today, Jesus is. He is. And He's the only one that can satisfy the soul. All that stuff that we chase in this life, longing for significance and satisfaction and contentment, all the stuff of this world, the temporal things we chase, will leave us incredibly dissatisfied and discontented. And that's what today's message is all about. Today we're in John chapter 4. We're looking at Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And this is another one of those passages, encounters of Christ, that is only in the Gospel of John. It's interesting. Remember, the theme of the Gospel of John is, these things have been written so that you may believe that He is the Son of God. Signs, it talks about in the Gospel of John. The miracles are referred to as signs. And so this is another one of those signs, those things that point to, another one of those encounters, one of those passages that points to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And in this passage, Jesus says, I want to give you living water. The Samaritan woman comes to Jacob's well. She comes to the well in the middle of the day to draw water for herself and for her family. And Jesus meets her there. He's there waiting upon her, and He asks for a drink. We're going to read it in just a moment, and she says, well, you know, I can get you a drink here possibly. But then Jesus says, hey, if you knew who I am, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water, of which your soul would never thirst again. Who wants some living water today? Come on, church. Living water that satisfies the soul. So much of our life today, so many people are so discontented. And the big question today is, what are you drinking? What are you drinking? And got some different options here this morning, some different drinks, if you will, that speak to our culture. The world tells you you ought to be drinking that. Now, that's empty. Baptist folks in the room, don't go crazy on me. And by the way, no church money was used to buy the beer this morning. It's from Pastor Kevin's car, okay? This empty can we got out of Pastor Kevin's car today. And all kidding aside, it's an empty can we actually found on at the parking ride, I think. Pastor Kevin found it at the parking ride. I said, man, I need it for an illustration this morning. So the world tells you to drink that. Just live it up, man. Just enjoy yourself. Just be who you are. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? The whole God thing, man, we don't need that. That's just, you know, cramps your style, man. It's just an impediment on all the fun and excitement you want to have in this life. So the world tells you got to have this if you want to be happy. By the way, today's message is not about whether or not you should drink alcohol. Y'all okay? That's another message for another day. Different illustration here. The world says, right? Don't they? The world says this kind of life. Others and many in the church say, let's drink this. How many Coke fans have I got in the house? Come on, Coke fans. By the way, drink a real Coke. How many Diet Coke people have I got in the house? Oh, sinners. Sinners in Jesus' name. Diet Coke is so nasty. What is wrong with y'all? By the way, the aspartame will kill you. Drink a real Coke if you want it. I mean, good night, right? Coke. Caffeine, sweet to the taste. It's palatable. It goes with just about everything. It's got some caffeine in it, a little bit of pick-me-up. You could add coffee to that too, possibly, right? But maybe, you know, you got to add all the girly stuff to make it sweet, though, right? I mean, all the latte stuff. But there are a lot in the church who say this, comfortable, right? I want to live the comfortable, palatable life. So money, possessions, education, retirement accounts, American dream kind of stuff, nice house. Nothing wrong with those things. But there's something wrong when those things have us, right? Nothing wrong with having those things. The problem is when all that stuff has us. And sadly, there's a whole lot more Christians that are drinking deeply of this. Like, it's all about job and money and possessions and the next vacation and the toys and the boats and the golf clubs and the four-wheeler and the guns, hunting stuff. And I mean, that's what life's all about. We want Jesus, but life is really more drinking deeply of that stuff. But Jesus said, I came to give you living water. And water, ultimately, we know, is what gives us health. It's interesting, these two are diuretics. Did you realize that? Caffeine, alcohol, so that it actually pulls the water from your body. So chasing the stuff of this world and chasing money and possessions and the American dream and all those things, it actually sucks the life of Jesus out of you. And water, right, refreshes us, satisfies, makes us healthy, strengthens us. So the question today is, before we even dive in, right, what are you drinking? What are you drinking today? What does your life consist of? Again, it's not about whether or not you should drink alcohol today. It's this idea of worldliness or earthly stuff, or am I drinking deeply of the love of Jesus? Worship, prayer, the Word of God, serving God. Am I drinking deeply of Him? Living water. Jesus says, if you knew the gift to the woman at the well here, to the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you right now, you would ask me for living water and I'd give it to you. Gift, it's the same word used in Acts 2:38 where Peter says, receive the Holy Spirit. He says, repent of your sin and be baptized and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7 later, and we're not going to preach this passage in this series, but Jesus says in John chapter 7, he says that, as the scripture has said, from your heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So it's the Spirit-filled life. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Not just those who know the facts about the Bible and or who are religious people or who attend church, but those who hear the voice of God, who have an intimate connection to Christ, who are following His leadership, worshiping Him. That's the Christian life. That's living water. That's what it's about. So what are you drinking today? Jesus is the only one who satisfies the soul. It's only the Spirit of God that can give us peace and joy and power and wisdom. It's not this stuff. John chapter 4, let's read together. I'm going to start in verse 1 and then we're going to stop in between here. I'm going to read half of this, 1 through 15. And then, and guys in the back, I didn't give you 1 through 6. Don't worry about it. Don't you love it when God throws us a curve? I'm going to come in here one Sunday and preach a whole different outline than what's in your notes. And some of you are going to absolutely lose your mind in Jesus' name. Like, I got to fill out the outline, right? Well, the Spirit of God every now and then on Saturday, even Sunday mornings at times, I'll study all week and then He'll throw curves. And then I got something different today. So we're going to start in verse number 1. So look on your Bible, look on your phone, pull up your app there because we've just got 7 through 30 on the screen. And so verse number 1. It says, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize, only his disciples did. He left Judea and he departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. Remember that statement? That's off the beaten path a little bit. Why has he got to pass through Samaria? Well, it's God ordained. In verse 5, so he comes to this town of Samaria called Sychar. Remember that also. Near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, he was sitting beside the well. And it was about the sixth hour. It's middle of the day. Like noontime. In verse number 7, so here we go. This will be on the screen for you now. Verse number 7, a woman from Samaria, she comes to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And a Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. If you know Old Testament history, Hebrew history, the Samaritans, they're spiritually unclean. Man, they had separated and made their own kingdom and had built their own temple outside of Jerusalem. They had gone outside the law of God with their worship, and they had intermarried with all the different nations and pagan peoples around them. So they were considered, you know, these unclean, you know, wicked folks who were playing a religious game. They're the liberals. Y'all okay today? Come on, Fox News folks up in here. Y'all all right? Need some CNN people up in here, some MSNBC. Y'all okay? There's some liberals up in here. They're the libs. And Jesus here is meeting with this Samaritan woman, and he meets her there, and she's like, what in the world? You know, I thought you were like this, you know, you're this staunch Jewish guy, right? So why are you talking to me? And Jesus answered her, and here's the statement. If you knew the gift, Holy Spirit, remember that when you see that word gift. The Bible also says eternal life is a gift, but it's the same word that speaks of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. If you knew the gift of God, who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you, there it is, living water. And the woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Like, what's this living water thing all about? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Well, yes, son of God. She's going to find that out in a minute. Are you greater than Jacob, right? Our father Jacob, he gave us the well. He drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, and listen to these beautiful words from the Lord. Everyone who drinks of this water, think of it this way. Everyone who drinks of all that worldly stuff is going to be thirsty again. You can gain it all, all the pleasure, all the leisure, all the money, all the stuff. You can have it all, and yet you'll be even more broken after accumulating it all, accomplishing those things, getting all those things. You'll be even more broken and discontented than you were before you started chasing it all. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him this spring of water, this continuous movement of peace and of joy, not perfection, but a direction of life. Now where Jesus is my Lord and love flows from my life and the fruit of righteousness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control is coming from my character and my actions and my words as a general pattern of life. It becomes the spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said, and here's where most church people, the woman said, man, that sounds great. Sir, give me this water because I don't want to work no more. Right? I don't want to be thirsty or have to come here to draw water anymore. By the way, aren't you glad that the gospel is not about performance? Come on, somebody. It's not about what I can do or the buckets I carry. Jesus carried my sin on the cross. Can I get an amen on that? He carried your sin and mine. He did it all for us. And before we move on, I want to give you some statements here. This is not in your outline. This is extemporaneous. The Lord gave this to me last night. Okay? So statement number one. You ready? Detours are often divine appointments. Detours are often divine appointments. Okay? Jesus here, he's going from northern part of Israel, moving down towards Jerusalem, and he goes off the beaten path. It says he had to go to Samaria. Why? Well, God ordained it for him to go to Samaria. So he takes the road less traveled. This place where the Hebrew would never go. God takes him there. And by the way, the detours in our lives are oftentimes divine appointments, aren't they? A detour is an off-ramp. It's a road that goes off the path. Here it is. That I want to travel on. How many of you know that God will take you off the path that you have created for yourself? Come on now. How often do we set plans for our own, for our families and our lives and all this stuff, and we make all these plans, but yet God steps in, he says, listen to me, man, if I follow your plan or I let you go down that road, you're going to have a jacked up life. You're going to miss out on my best for you. And detours take longer, frustrations, right? But sometimes the scenery is pretty awesome. And so on the detour, listen, while you're on that detour, know that God is in that with you. He has a divine appointment there. God took Jesus off the main road to this road less traveled so that he could interact with this one lady. He wanted to do something significant in her life. And so the detours today, all those frustrating things, all that stuff where you think, man, this is not my plan and I don't understand this. Hey, here it is. Trust in the character of God in that place. By the way, what is faith? Faith is not just trusting in the hand of God. It's trusting in the man of God. It's trusting in Jesus, isn't it? His character, his nature. God, your will is best. It doesn't take any faith at all to follow God when everything's great. It takes faith to trust in his character on the detours of life. So detours are often divine appointments. Number two, okay? Destinations also are divinely inspired. Are you grateful today that heaven is for real for children of God? It's done. What Jesus did on the cross was enough. When we trust in him, we have eternal life as a present possession. His kingdom starts now in our heart. Wherever Jesus is king is where his kingdom is. And so destinations are divinely inspired. God may be taking you on that detour because he has a specific destination for you, for your family, for your marriage, for that health situation. I mean, you name it. He's got a specific plan and destination in mind. So trust him in that. Jesus here, this is so awesome. It's so prophetic. Sychar, you remember that place here? It says that he went to this place, Sychar, where Jacob's well was. Well, in the Old Testament, there's another name for Sychar. It's Shechem. You ever heard that before, Bible students in the room? That's where God made the promise to Abraham. This land's going to be yours, and your seed from your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And so God made a promise to Abraham there. So when he goes on later, and we'll look at this in just a moment, to say worship is spirit, and in truth, the true worshipers of God worship not by performance, but by relationship. Heart, spirit, truth. He's taking her back and taking us back. Think about this. Eternal God put Jesus there for her, but also for all the rest of Christendom. So that we could see the connection back to Abraham. Abraham had no Bible. He had no church. He didn't have any of that. He didn't even have the Ten Commandments yet. It was just Abraham and the great I Am. That's worship. That's the foundation. God has expanded his revelation of himself through his word and just through the testimony of his people all throughout the ages. By the way, the Bible tells us that as it gets closer to Jesus' return, the amount of revelation of the gospel will multiply around the world. I'm grateful for mass communication. I know there's a lot of junk on it, but aren't you glad we can push the gospel out online? And we can push the gospel out through social media and these things. We got the word of God, the people of God, the testimony of God. And so destinations, this is divinely inspired. He's taking us back to Shechem. And he's saying, remember, that's what it's about. It's you and it's God. That's the foundation. You and Jesus, not religious performance, not whether, and she'll talk about it in a moment, whether you worship on this mountain or this mountain, this church or this denomination, or, you know, it's not about all that. It's just about Jesus. And so destinations are divinely inspired. But then number three, daily routines can become divine encounters, can't they? Daily routines can become divine encounters if we let them. This woman, Samaritan woman, she's just going to the well like normal to get water for her family. And what happens? She meets Jesus there. And so too in your daily routine. Listen to me. Those same places you go every day. Work, right? The gym, school, the ball field. You know, the doctor's office, the dentist's office, all these places, the routines we go through every day, the people we come in contact with on a continual basis, right? Even those hard to deal with folks in the workplace or in your neighborhood, those daily routines, God, listen to me, God wants to show up he wants to meet you there. Samaritan woman said, I'm just doing my thing today. And all of a sudden, Jesus interrupted her routine. I challenge you, children of God, don't just go through the routine. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just go to work, earn a paycheck, pay your bills, and go on about your life. Be attentive to what God is doing in the people right around you every day. The ministry that He wants to do through you into their lives. And be attentive. We've got to be attentive to the things He wants to teach us. The Samaritan woman's like, I'm just doing my thing. God's like, no, I'm going to meet you here, and we're going to call out some stuff in your life, and you're going to leave transformed. Aren't you glad you don't have to be in church to have church? Come on, somebody. Listen, you can have church every day, every conversation you're in, if you just listen to the Spirit of God. Our ears are open. Worship in spirit and in truth. If you knew the gift, right? The well of water springing up. And so, man, we don't just have church. We are the church if we're children of God. And so every day, God wants to have church, man, right where you're at. And so we want to be open to that. Okay? Living water. How do you receive living water? Let's dive in now, verses 16 through 30, and we'll be done this morning. And I just want to give us some steps, even, if you will, just from this passage that speak to how do I get this living water? She says, sirs, verse 15 there, we just read it. You know, sir, give me this water. I don't want to be thirsty or have to come here to draw water anymore. Verse 16, now Jesus is going to call some stuff out in her life. And when God calls stuff out in your life, sin, difficulty, He'll bring back up past hurts, past offenses, you name it. He'll bring that stuff up in your life, and sometimes it's painful, like the doctor's visit. But when He calls that stuff up, He's calling it up in His grace, because He has conquered that in the gospel, and He wants to officially conquer it in your life as you surrender it to Him. Okay? Verse 16, Jesus says to her, she's like, okay, give me the living water. And, you know, every preacher in America would be like, okay, pray this prayer and sign this card, and here you go, you're in. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, well, I don't know that we fully understand what taking this living water is all about yet. So Jesus says to her, hey, go call your husband and come here. And the woman says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus goes like Messiah on her, like eternal God. He's like, yeah, I ain't never met you, but let me tell you your life. And he says to her, he says, well, you're right in saying I don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands. And the guy you're living with now is not your husband. It's not right. You're living with this guy and you're not married. And, you know, what you've said is true. And the woman says, oh, you're going to preach at me now, right? Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, listen to these words. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when it's not going to be about church or denomination or all the religious organizational things. It's not going to be about religion. And by the way, it never was about religion, right? He's meeting her at Shechem. Abraham, great I am. So it never was about that. Hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know. Salvation's from the Jews. The hour is coming. It's now here. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in, say those words with me, church. Come on now. Worship in spirit and truth. Spirit, internal, connection, heart stuff, and truth, honesty, integrity. Again, not perfection. We won't be perfect until we meet the Lord, right? Glorification is the consummation of our salvation. Sanctification's going on in this life. Aren't you glad that we're a work in progress? That ought to encourage you today. All of us are just a work in progress. But it's truth, it's integrity, it's honesty, it's humility, it's spirit, it's heart, it's connection with Him here. He says, the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Verse 24, God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming. He who is called the Christ. When He comes, He'll tell us all things. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am He. And He goes on to say that she left her water jars right there at the well, and she sprinted back home, started telling everybody. She says, this guy's told me everything I've done, and I don't even know him. This has got to be the Christ, man. Her life was completely transformed, and she began to tell everyone around her. How do you receive living water? Let me give you some practical points this morning on this. Number one, we've got to face our emptiness. I've got to admit that this stuff doesn't satisfy. I've got to come to Jesus and I got to lay the worldly stuff down, the American dream stuff down. I got to lay all that down at his feet. I got to die to that. So Jesus, it's not about my plans, not about my life. It's not about my appearance to others or what others think about me or man's pleasure or man's applause. It's not about any of that stuff anymore, those things that my flesh enjoys. I repent of these things. I repent of sin before you, and I have walked away from your truth, and I need you. Jesus, I need your spirit. I need your living water. I need eternal life. So we got to face our emptiness. That's what he does here. He's not condemning the Samaritan woman for her sin. Listen to me. This is important because there's some in evangelical life who read this passage and think, well, man, you just got to dog everybody's sin in order for them to get saved. And yes, you need to know you're a sinner in order to get saved. Are y'all with me today? You got to know you're a sinner. You got to know you're lost before you can get found. That's true. But Jesus is not condemning her sin here. He's calling it out in grace. What he's saying is he's speaking to her spiritual dehydration. She has been chugging this and her life is being destroyed. Right? This. She's been chugging that and it is destroying her life. Sexual pleasure, I mean, that's what she's been drinking deeply of that. Why? I don't know. Was she abused in the past? Was there some kind of deep longing in her heart? I don't know. It could be trauma-informed. You don't know. There's a lot of folks who deal with those things in this life. And so Jesus is not like dogging her because of her stuff. What he's saying is, listen, there's no satisfaction in that. So today, in order to receive living water, we first must come and acknowledge, Jesus, I am so broken and I need you. There's no hope in all this stuff I'm chasing. Okay? So we've got to face our emptiness. Number two, we've got to understand true worship. We've got to understand what real worship is. He says here it's spirit and it's truth. Again, we're back to Shechem. Go back and read it. Genesis chapter 12. Also, Shechem was the place where Joshua reinstituted the law of God for the people there, or really instituted for the first time after they had conquered Canaan's land. It's where Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this place of truth and spirit and worship and connection to Jesus, real worship is not religious ceremonialism. Just because you come to church today or you watch online doesn't mean that you love Jesus. Doesn't mean you have a connection with him. Doesn't mean that your life's been transformed. You may be here today and you're still just chugging this stuff, man. It's not living water. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not life and peace and joy in your heart and the fruit of righteousness. It's all of this, and I'm just kind of, maybe more like this, right? Just kind of playing the religious game. Palatable, comfortable. Tastes good, but chasing all that stuff is pulling Jesus stuff out of me. It's keeping me from God's best. So we've got to understand what real worship is. Okay? But then thirdly and lastly today, in order to receive living water, I must receive Jesus. And he tells her here, there's such a beautiful, simplistic gospel invitation here. If you see it, sometimes you can pass over it early in the passage. Early in the encounter, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you right now, you would have just asked me. How do you receive Jesus? How do you receive the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit? Jesus, come to live in your heart. Spirit of God there. Just ask. Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, if we love to bless our children, how much more does God want to bless us with his Holy Spirit when we ask him in simple childlike faith? Just ask. Today, if you want to be saved, forgiven of your sin, made right with God, to find contentment in this life, peace and joy and wisdom and power, today, living water, all you've got to do is humbly turn from this and ask. That's it. Just ask him. What happens when you ask him? What happens when you start drinking deeply the love of Jesus? Look what happened in her life. I mean, it's our first encounter with him. Number one, she left the jars. I talked about that already. Leave the jars. That's what happens. All that stuff. Aren't you glad that when we come to Jesus, all that stuff, all the shame, all the guilt, all the brokenness, all the stuff we're trying to carry in this life and cover up with all this stuff, I can leave it. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest today. Man, if you need rest in Christ, you can come to Him and leave the jars. All the shame and the stuff. She's come in the middle of the day because she's known as a cat around town woman. She doesn't want to be seen. You wouldn't come middle of the day to draw water. You come early in the morning or late in the evening. Well, she's come in the middle of the day. Well, when she meets Jesus, now the jars get laid down. It's not about her shame and guilt anymore. Which leads to number two. What else happens? You tell the world. That's what happens. She goes back. The same person who didn't want to be seen, didn't want to be known. Now, this is good. Now her story of shame and guilt and brokenness becomes her testimony of transformation. God wants to turn your struggle into a story. Your shame into someone else's transformation. God wants to do that today. And that's what He does. When we repent of all this stuff and we start drinking deeply the love of Jesus. And so today, what are you drinking? The world? Comfortable American dream life, a little bit of Jesus, but a whole lot of temporal things? Or are we drinking deeply of the love of Jesus, the grace of God, the Spirit of God, worship, prayer, the Word? Today, let's turn from this and just ask for the Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus, and live in my heart.